everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, how are you handling these allergies? Facebook is just full of people exploding this morning saying, I can't take it anymore.
It bothered me last night. I finally broke down and took an allergy pill, and
you
that helped quite a bit.
You took an allergy pill. Yeah, I think a lot of people are saying, yeah, it's time. Buckmaster here on a Friday in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. It's Friday, April the 29th, the final Friday of April 2022. Our radio station's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's trusted source for news and talk. In our 12th year with the radio project, 34 years for me here in town. It's not like I got off the bus yesterday, I guess, in TV and radio. Have our worldwide live listening and podcast at thebuckmastershow.com. And our live line, when we use our telephone lines, is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners like to do our Friday shout-out to our media friends, including Dan Scheer, the editor, and he is editor and editorial director for WIC Communications. Two of WIC's papers are the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, thank you very much for your support.
Thank you for your hard work, Bill.
Well, thank you very much. And, of course, Dylan Smith supports us at TucsonSentinel.com. Jim Ninsel and the gang over at the Tucson Weekly and all of the Tucson local media group, their portfolio includes Inside Tucson Business, The Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today features Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher. Jan, how are you?
I am well. Thank you, Bill.
Good to see you again,
nice
Jan.
Nice to see you.
Who, after serving as second in command of Pima County government since 2011, was appointed 2 weeks ago as the replacement for Chuck Huckleberry. And Mr. Huckleberry served nearly 30 years as the county's top staffer. Ms. Lesher's new contract, which is significantly less than her predecessor, was approved last week, officially making her the first woman to be appointed as permanent Pima County administrator. Jan's a Tucson native. She's a UA graduate. She served as chief of staff for Janet Napolitano when the former Arizona governor became head of Homeland Security. But Jan got homesick, and she wanted to come back to Tucson, and she did in 2010. Good to see you again.
That's it. Good to see you too, Bill. Thank you.
So out of this whole craziness surrounding, what a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
What a month of
what
April.
Month.
I think you'll be very glad to see April in the rearview mirror.
I certainly
Let's
will.
Put it like that. I think one thing that really stands out is maybe one word, transparency.
That's absolutely right, Bill, and that's what we've been chatting with the board about, and so much of this is, as you say, I'll be glad to see it in the rearview mirror. For many of us, it's can't go back and undo what had happened, but how do we make sure that it never happens again? And a couple of things I'll tell you that we've started doing. Even at the beginning of April, the board gets a weekly report by department of who's resigned, retired, terminated, so that we can see the count for every department, just to make sure that anybody is retiring, that we all know about it. It also, frankly, is a great management tool if we're seeing, if we've got a department with a lot more people leaving, you know, than another. Supervisor Christie has placed an item on the agenda for next Tuesday to look at a whistleblower policy, and we just sent a memo out suggesting some language for that. To make sure that employees, if they feel that there's something going on that's untowards in any way, that they can speak with the board and they can bring issues forward. So we've been looking at every way we do something and making sure that the public has an absolute look at everything that's occurring.
Yeah, the flow chart will really help you with this labor shortage, because you've got some departments that have a lot of openings.
We do, Bill, and I think much like every business, I think, in the community, one of our great challenges right now is workforce. When we came out of what the great resignation, I guess people have made different decisions about lifestyle. They've looked at, I've talked to lots of folks who have realized through the pandemic that maybe a family could get by on one income so that they can stay home with children. And there's just been many changes that have occurred. And we're seeing a lot of people leaving the workforce. Particularly, I look at concerns about our public health department, We still will be serving the community as the public health entity, whether there's a pandemic or not. And a lot of people were moving out of that field as well. So our challenge is making sure that our workforce is strong and supported. We serve the public. That's what we do in the final analysis and in everything we do. And we're as good as our workforce and making sure that that gets done. So that's been our focus, not just the compensation package, but that's not everything that people are looking for these days. They want to see work-life balance. They want a different kind of accommodation. And to the extent we can provide it and still be wise stewards of our public dollars, that's what we shall do.
Here's Dan Scheer.
I'm wondering if the chapter on Chuck Huckleberry is fully closed yet. He had a severance clause in his contract, if I'm not mistaken. Has that been paid out, and how much was that?
Dan, I don't know. I know that he had a final payout that was due from state retirement system, and he received that. I simply don't know. I'm happy to get that back to you and let you share it with your listeners as mm-hmm. well.
Okay, I have a question from a reader who got a hold of me and knew that you were going to be on today and said, what did you learn from Chuck Huckleberry's successes and his failures that are going to guide your administration going forward?
Great question. I had the opportunity to work with Chuck for several years. I think the thing that will really guide me is watching Chuck look at a vision for a long-term project. Many of us, the day can just keep you busy, you know, doing things. And to decide we're going to build a 130 or 140-mile loop, to decide that we're going to work in collaboration with developers and develop the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan so that everybody knows the rule of the game and we're not dealing with just every single rezoning that comes up. So looking at a long-term strategy and working with a board on a way to get to that, I think, is what I've really, really learned from Chuck. I think the things that I might do a little differently and that we're starting to look at is some of the way it's a new world order in terms of how we work with our employees. And I think then what comes with that is what's the physical footprint we have. If we have a lot more telecommuting, that may be efficient, but we may be able to sell some buildings. And then how do we work as a region? One of the things that I've already been doing in this first month is going around and meeting with the managers and the mayors of our smaller jurisdictions so that there are always going to be an issue about which we might disagree, but we have many more areas in which we can collaborate. And talking with Mayor Honey and talking with Mayor Murphy and talking with Mayor Tesso and all the folks out in the communities and understanding what it is we need to work together. Part of it is realizing that there's things that we can do and we've done, but pardon me, but maybe we shouldn't do. And an example of that is our board recently adopted a new policy by which we don't charge jurisdictions for services at Pima Animal Care. Every one of those individuals in the incorporated communities lives in Pima County and are paying a property tax that continues to fund that service. So just because you live in one of the incorporated jurisdictions shouldn't charge you more. So that's going to end up, that's a policy that has a negative impact on our budget. But we shouldn't see taxpayers in other jurisdictions as a funding source or a source of revenue. But we're looking at just what are all the ways in which we can collaborate more. And I think that's sort of the new area that we're trying to move into more, Dan.
And transportation, obviously, with the RTA next, is going to be huge for this community.
It is, and I think that the board several years ago moved into a pay-as-you-go model that has allowed us to earmark at least an additional $50 million each year going into road maintenance. Clear as a bell from the residents of this county that our roads needed help and needed work. And when they voted down several bond elections, there's also a message in there about understanding and committing to how we fund things. So we've changed those models. We are looking at new budgets that then, as we pay off our debt in the past, it allows us additional dollars to go to road maintenance, and that's going to be a big effort for us. We're all watching, I think, with interest what happens in the city of Tucson regarding the renewal of their half cent, and then hopefully coming back really region-wide for RTA next.
And they feel, and we had Sam Credio, the new transportation director, on the show yesterday, and Sam and his team feel it really sets the table. They feel that a positive vote for getting all of they hope to do even every side street within a 10-year period or something, but they feel it sets the table for moving forward with RTA next.
And I hope that is true, and I believe that can absolutely be true. If you there, it's not really changing the way anything is right now. The city of Tucson has a half cent. If you speak again with Mayor Murphy or Mayor Honey, I know that they have strong plans for how they're looking at the roads in their communities. And so they would continue as with the city with their half cent to work on their roads. What RTA does and what RTA Next does is really continue to fund that regional plan, because even though we live in one community or another or an unincorporated jurisdiction, we tend to be driving in each other's communities. And where is it we can look at the overall plan so that all the taxpayers in the county and are participating in that plan.
Sounds like you're really opening the door to regionalism.
Well, I hope. We're spending a lot of time with PAG and RTA, and said it's people choose to live in one of the smaller jurisdictions, but they all live in Pima County, and we welcome them. We hope that we can be cooperative.
I know it's budget season, which means all the departments have their hands out, and everybody wants more. I know our Pima County Justice Court down in Green Valley has some deteriorating infrastructure. They're going to probably be asking for something. We had Sheriff Nanos on several weeks ago. He was talking about some issues at one of the detention centers. How is the revenue, and how do you decide who gets what, and what do you see as a priority this year?
Well, I think it's always important to note that I only make a recommendation, obviously, and that the budget is the policy established by our board, and I will defer to them. But what, as we move things forward, I think the challenge, Dan, is we're coming out of COVID dollars. You know, this is what I see as sort of the first budget that will be going forward that's kind of the new normal. And the county, as other jurisdictions, receiving hundreds of millions of dollars for a couple of years, it can make coming out of the receipt of those dollars a little challenging. What we tried to make sure is that we used one-time money for one-time purposes, but there was a lot of money there that is simply not existing. What I look at is the core of it, again, is our employees. We started a year ago providing some salary increases. We're looking at some modest increases this year so that we can actually get our workforce in classifications in a compensation area that we'll keep them working for Pima County. And I think that's what's going to be important. We've got to continue to fund the road maintenance, the pay-as-you-go program, so that we can keep buildings up and going. We are looking at, we're constructing a new, just as an example, the new office of our medical examiner. We provide not only the medical forensic services for Pima County, but several other counties contract with us. That needs a new building. And we're looking at some of those areas as well. But I think when you look at people, continuing to provide critical health care as we come out of a pandemic and into a steady state of the endemic, and then continuing to fix our roads are going to be our priorities.
And another question, I want to reach back a couple of months. Old Tucson Studios, I keep getting questions about this. I know that there's been a lease signed. But we're never going to see the old Tucson studios come back, are we? That's really the question people are asking.
I'm afraid not. And yeah. Dan, I think the reality to that is if the folks that owned old Tucson could make it financially work, they'd still be running it. But it's a different world. My hope, and if you've talked with the folks from American Heritage Railroad, they are terrific. And they have a great experience at doing this. The things that I think are important is the railroad is a piece of it. That historic old Tucson field will remain. We've been spending some time, just as the county has owned it, making sure that the roofs are set, the kitchen appliances are okay, the sidewalks, and they're not sidewalks, but the walkways in front of some of the old stores are safe, so that American Heritage can come in with a new area, with a new clean slate. And I think the other issue that has a lot of people interested is whether they'll be able to continue making movies. You know, they would love to see American Heritage, and I think our community would both love to see us start getting back in the business of of film and movies and TV shows. Some of that, as you know, is not dependent on just our availability of a studio here, but what are the tax credits? You know, what are the tax incentives and things like
right.
that? But the great news is, in speaking with the leadership, it's a family-owned business, and they... They're committed to both the best of what Old Tucson used to be for the community and then enhancing it with, based on their experience and knowledge, running like facilities around the country.
Would they put in possibly some kind of a railway around the property? I mean, some of the old movies that were filmed at Old Tucson, they had a, you know, a railway. They had little huge engines, and I don't even know if they, like, could put tracks down there.
That's part of what I don't know about what they're looking at right now. I know that they are, their plan now is to be open for Nightfall, which was
the big Halloween event.
Right, uh-huh. In October, and the month of October, and very popular.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the old days, Old Tucson made about 75% of their revenue during that 1 month. So it's a great way as well, not only to provide the entertainment for the community, but to get people back in the habit of going out to Old Tucson as a destination.
It's a family business, American Heritage.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
All right, talk about a family business. Mona's Danish Bakery is a family business that we love to send people to. Jan, would you be in the mood for some bakery goods right about now?
Bill, I am always in the mood, sadly, for bakery
something,
goods.
Yes. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Wide variety of wonderful pastries that Dan Shear is very familiar with. Dan, you love what Steve and the team do up there.
Yeah, they are a great team, and they really did a great job through the pandemic.
They certainly did. And why not find out what all the excitement's about? Steve and the team open the door at 6:30 in the morning, and people are waiting in line for their pastries and coffee. So check it out, monasdanishbakery.com. They are open for breakfast Tuesday through Sunday. They are now taking a well-deserved day off on Monday. We'll be back with Jan Lesher, Pima County Administrator, and Dan Shear from the Green Valley News right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We were just talking off the air with Jan Lesher, Pima County Administrator, about HUD Bay and what's going on there. And Dan, could you want to answer this question that just came in from Richard, sent me an email during the break. That area south of Sahorita Road, it's really bad.
Yeah.
The dust, what's going on?
Well, there is a mine out there. If you look at the Santa Rita Mountains, you'll see this. I call it the white scar on the mountain, and that's not I'm not making a political statement there. It's just that's what it is. And that's Imoris. It's I believe it's a French-owned mine out there, and they've been there. I've been here 13 years. They've been there the whole time. They do use Santa Rita Road to come in and out. More people are noticing it because there's more development along that road. But if you go out that road, at some point it becomes dirt and rocks and really tough to get to. That's also where Copper World is, the new HUD Bay project, where they have 7 deposits and 5 pits planned. But a lot of that dust is coming from those trucks coming in and out of the Imoris mine, which is, I think, limestone and things like that. So
who's responsible for the road?
Well, that's Jan.
Uh-oh.
Did you take this one? It is county.
It's a county road.
It is county road.
Yeah, it is a county road, and we are responsible for that. But and so we will look into that and make sure the maintenance and all the dust. Bit of a different issue, and I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of what it is, and like I said. Now that you have more people there, you're going to have more complaints.
Yeah.
But you know what it is when you're moving in there. And the question is it a violation? And the answer is probably not.
Jan, you visited the HUD Bay property, right, this week?
Earlier this week, okay. Actually, I'm sorry, I was with Freeport-McMoRan. I went to the Freeport-McMoRan site to see what they were doing and how they've been operating. And Dan knows that much better than I, just looking at a very sizable operation, very close to the community, but they seem to be doing coexisting in that area.
Yeah, you can practically hit it with a rock.
Yeah.
But it was there first, and then Green Valley came along in 1964, but they were there first, and then and they, by the way, are very good community partners, are very involved in a lot of things. There are a lot of jobs out of there, as you point out. So, there are issues every once in a while with dust coming off the mine, and they tend to deal with them quickly and transparently, I will say.
Right.
So, Dan, with the situation with HUD Bay, they're pretty much on private land, right?
It's all on private land, and that was the difference between the Rosemont project, which was the actual mine site was on private land, but they had to dump the waste rock onto public land. And over on this one, it's all going to be theirs. And so they're moving forward with it. I just met with HUD Bay a couple weeks ago, and they are going to have a big announcement on some economic feasibility coming up here in the next couple of weeks. So we'll be looking for that, but it may give a sense of how quickly they're going to be attacking this. But I can tell you that Rosemont is on the shelf, and they have another project up in Nevada right now that is also taking a back seat to Copper World because there is so much there, and they were stunned to find what they did and mostly how close it is to the surface. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, I think, just full steam ahead on this project, but we'll learn more here soon.
Go ahead with Jan, Dan Shear.
Pima County is going to introduce electronic poll books this election. It's something new, although I think all the other counties have it. Voters can go to any voting site and check in. And there had been some concerns on the board that the equipment might not arrive in time because of supply chain disruptions. It was supposed to arrive In May. Is that still on schedule? What's going on with that?
Sure, Dan. Everything is on schedule, and we believe we will get the poll books. We do have an item on Tuesday's agenda, May 3rd, for the board to discuss an update on vote centers and actually redistricting and the e-poll books and the whole kit and caboodle. We have a new election director in Pima County, a gal who's come to us with 28 years experience running elections, and we met earlier this week, and what comforted me, frankly, was as she began to talk about writing the contingency plan and the backup plan, and you still need ballots. What if the paper doesn't come in? And actually, you know, the common sense problems of, well, what if this goes wrong?
Because from Virginia?
Yes, Constance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she started now.
She did, the 1st of April, and she's got just about a month under her belt, but recognizing that nothing ever goes according to Hoyle and that we need to make sure we have a variety of different pieces in place. So we'll be going through that with the board and explaining. She has been, our new Constance, Ms. Hargrove, has been on the phone with the suppliers asking, you know, what's your plan, supplier? Yeah, we need these pieces of equipment in place. If they are delayed in any way, or we need more, or something doesn't work, how are we sure we're getting them? And so I think I'm hoping by the end of Tuesday, there'll be a greater comfort level from the board and others, from me, and was meeting with different folks from different parties recently and saying there's two key elements to this. I think there's ease of voting and there's security and integrity of voting. And how do we see if we can do both? And certainly not willing to give one up for the other. I think if we get, as I've talked with some members of the board, I believe that we are on track to go live with the e-poll books and the vote centers. And I think that will work. If we get into May and we don't have what we need, then we're simply going to have to go in a different direction and run the elections the way we've done it before. We're not afraid to say, we're going to step back and make sure we're doing it right. At this point, however, I think we have everything in place to make sure we do it right.
So all indications are is that the equipment's going to be there and we're going to move forward with this?
At this point, yes, sir. That's good. The direction we're going.
Dan, as you recall, we had Assistant Pima County Administrator Mark Napier with us, former Pima County Sheriff, and he had submitted a report on constables, the performance of constables. He submitted that report in September, and there was quite a bit of confusion about what direction now our former sheriff Napier would like the constables to have some kind of a uniformity, for want of a better word. They wanted, you know, some kind of a code that they would all be following. Do you have any update on that?
I do, and actually, okay. I met with the presiding constable and the jeepers, I don't know if it's associate or vice, but they, Michael Stevenson and his number two constable, just a couple weeks ago, to look at a draft of the manual that they have going forward to make sure that there's consistency in uniformity in uniforms.
Right.
This is the way to start with it. Yeah. In the dress, what is, you know, what are standards of conduct? What are, you know, use of force regulations? And so they have been working very hard from the putting together this manual to ensure that all of that occurs. And actually, I was chatting with Mark Napier a couple weeks ago about there are elements out of the constable's guides that are being pulled straight out of the sheriff's manuals. Mm-hmm. So use of force, et cetera, that will all come together, because the constables have had a bit of a rocky road recently as well. And we hope that they themselves are moving forward to develop these professional standards.
Because somebody shows up at your door and maybe they've each got kind of a different way of dressing. They'd have a particular constable's uniform.
You hope, because if someone's coming to your door and indicating you're being evicted,
yes,
or they want to serve papers, it would be comforting to know that individual has a right to ask you to leave.
Yes. All right, Dan.
Pima County Transportation Director is retiring soon. How's the search going?
Going well. And actually, we have named the successor. Ana Olivares has been our director for a period of time and is terrific and is retiring. And we, Catherine Skinner, who has been with the department for quite some time, will be moving into that spot and has been working not only, I think what's important in the department, there's a terrific group that are making sure we're getting the roads built, you know, and that we're fixing the potholes. We're behind, and we know that, but we're getting caught up. I think we're seeing real progress. There's another element to that, which is smart mobility, and making sure that we're using the roads as efficiently as possible, and that we've just been talking about what are the apps that are available so people know where's the short, you know, maybe there's better, quicker route. We've always said the shortest distance in Pima County between any two points is under construction.
Yeah.
So if we look at that, what is it we need to be doing to get people around in different ways? And so the good news is we have a very strong team and bench that deal with sort of the traditional part of road construction. And we won't be giving anything up by also having good leadership and management in some of the new tools of the trade.
And then briefly, next week the board is expected to approve newly drawn boundaries for the supervisor districts. We've all seen the maps. What do you think of them?
Well, I'm pleased that we ended up with a 5-0 vote of the commission. So it was a unanimous recommendation of the five individuals appointed by the supervisors. They meet, as I'm told by all of our lawyers, the legal standards that need to occur. The two biggest requests we had were for both Marana and Saurita to be in one district. And we've come very close to that. I think it's one precinct in Marana remains in District 1, but that's all in District 3, and Saurita is in District 2. These maps are never what everybody would like to see, but I think incumbents were left in their own districts. There's no gerrymandering, and I believe they meet the legal standards.
Well, hey, Saurita was in three districts before, right. And now only two.
So we're making progress, maybe steps.
In 10 years, we'll get it. Thanks.
Dan, you might have been with me on that interview we did with Sheriff Nanos when he was talking about this really issue with not enough staffing in the Pima County Jail. And there had also been some questions about drug overdoses, really a serious situation. There were two fentanyl-related overdoses. What's your report from the jail these days?
We are pleased to have a great relationship, I think, with Sheriff Nanos. And a lot of this began when came into this spot when he was beginning to enforce a vaccine mandate for people who work in the jail. So that was quite a challenge for him, and he was up to it, I'll tell you that. And I think that we've been working long and hard with him to figure out what's happening with the medical providers, what are we doing to make sure that people who are coming into the jail are not bringing in any kind of contraband, and how are we taking care of individuals who are there for any period of time. So it's a challenge. I think that, and I'm sure Sheriff Nanos mentioned it, to me, one of the great challenges we have as people in Pima County looking at the jail is what I think of as short, middle, long-term kind of construction needs. That if you go out to the jail right now, you're going to see some wear and tear that needs to get fixed now.
How old is that facility?
Oh, jeepers, now.
1960s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we have some work we can do in the 18 to 36 month range. And I think it's time, though, for us to now start having the conversation about whether we need a new jail and what that's going to look like. Because obviously that will be years away, too, from working with the public, understanding the need, seeing how we fund it, then getting something built is a ways down the road. But just Sheriff Nanos and some of his folk took me on a tour earlier this year, and there are things that I think really need some attention. So I think he's got challenges that the board I know is looking to work with him to fix, in not only the number of people, the number of employees, the salaries, but also the physical.
They operate at pretty much capacity all the time.
They do. They're running at about 670 inmates every day.
Mm. One thing we haven't talked about are property taxes. You've got real estate has been just off the charts during the pandemic. Does that translate? Should I be budgeting more money for my property taxes?
We are just in the process of finalizing that budget. And so looking at what those numbers are, I can tell you that right now we're still tweaking a few pieces, but the budget we will send to the board does have about somewhere between 11 and 12 cent tax cut. But the PAYGO does help with that, and the assessed valuations going up. What's difficult, I think, when in the Great Recession in 2008 and 2009, we lost 16-18% of the property value. So while it has been increasing steadily, we're just getting back to where we were. And like as you mentioned, I'm Tucson born and raised, and the one thing I was always taught was the values of property will never go down, which of course was true until 2008. And, we had issues and struggles. So I think that that's what this board is very clear about, is we want to make sure that we're not only providing services that are necessary, but that we are not doing it all on the back of local taxpayers.
Anything else, Dan, before we let Jan go?
Yeah, real quickly, trash along the interstates, and I know it is not a county responsibility or county problem, but it is a problem in the county. Are you pressuring ADOT to kind of pick up the pace in Pima County?
Dan, that's not a conversation I've had with ADOT, but thank you. I mean, I'm happy to follow up with them. I know we had some folks down the other day, and I said I'd love to have Director Helikowski down and let. I've heard on morning radio this discussion coming up with you in the past. It's an issue.
Yeah, it's one of those strange things where you don't realize people really care about it,
right.
But they do. We wrote about it recently in Green Valley News, and I will tell you that they came out of the woodwork after that, and the complaints are up substantially, et cetera, et cetera. And it's kind of that broken window theory. People are really afraid of what comes next if you don't take care of your roads.
Thank you.
But it is an ADOT issue. Yep, I want to make that clear.
But thank you.
All right. I can attest that when I was down there a couple of months ago, there was a lot of trash along the interstate down by Green Valley. Jan Lusher, thank you very much. Good luck, Jan, in your new role with Pima County. All right. We'll take a break right here. Dan's going to stick around, and we'll chat together after we take a break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much to Jan Lesher, the new Pima County Administrator. Dan Shear is here from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita News. No, Sahuarita Sun. Hey, Dan, that thing with the trash in your area is really out of control.
It really
is. Is there
a
local group in Green Valley that goes out and cleans it up?
There are. there's a group of men, and they have been doing it for about 15 years. So if you drive down there and you see the light blue trash bags on the side of the road, that's them, and they work hard. But there are basically three groups that clean up the interstates. One is volunteer groups like that. One is the Department of Corrections. Hmm. And then ADOT has its crews go down.
Well, they haven't come down in a while.
They haven't. They've really kind of fallen down on this. And I know it's because it's just not a priority. If you've ever seen a wreck and someone's taken out a guardrail, the same crew that picks up trash also fixes the guardrail. So it's obviously more important. Yeah. But we know that, as Jan was saying, it's tough to find employees. Maybe they're having that issue. But I will tell you that it may seem trivial, but it's not. When your roads are trashed, it's very easy for the rest of the community just to kind of go the same direction.
That
we don't
highway,
want that to happen.
The highway itself is not doing that great either.
No, all the way down to Mexico, it is rougher and rougher. So we're hoping that we get that fixed.
All right. A couple of months ago, maybe it wasn't, the Ukraine war had started, and you shared with us about your brother, that he had volunteered to go over there. Is there an update on your brother? I hope he's okay.
He is fine. He went there March 1st, and so here we are 2 months into it, and he actually is just any minute now about to get on a plane in Warsaw and head back here for about 3 weeks, we think. He just needs some R&R and to kind of get his head straight on some of this. He's been in a war zone for 2 months, and he's been hauling people all over Ukraine and into several other nearby countries. He's been helping out with refugees and with food deliveries and whatever is needed. And he has established an incredible network over there.
I bet he has.
Yeah, to the point where, there are checkpoints all over the country, and he now has a special pass that where they will not tear his car apart as he goes through them, and that was given by the Ukrainian government. Someone just donated a 9-passenger van so he can actually get more people from here to there, and he has taken people with disabilities out, mourning families, so many different situations, and so we as a family are in contact with him through WhatsApp, and so we sometimes get these things real time. He's been in several cities as they have been bombed. Dnipro is one of them, and of course Lviv, and he's been to Kiev, and so he is again a former police officer, 25 years. He was also in the Army. He's very equipped to do this, and he is helping out a lot of people. But he's going to regroup and head back into the country with our full support, and he has a brand new bulletproof vest, so we're glad for that.
And we heard that news of the 22-year-old Marine, former U.S. Marine, who is the first known U.S. citizen fighting alongside the Ukrainians to have died. He leaves behind, Willie Cancel is his name, and he leaves behind a wife and a 7-month-old child. So very dangerous, and kudos to your brother for stepping up and trying to help people.
It is not easy, and you just have to have the right people over there. It's not something everybody should get up off their couch and go do, because most of us are not equipped to do that. But we knew he was going to go. We just knew because he had a lot of Ukrainian friends and actually a lot of Russian friends, and we knew that he was going to go. And it has been a long couple of months. I won't try to make it sound like anything it isn't, but we're very proud of him.
Finally, a real happy story about a baby owl.
Well, owls are falling out of trees, and we're trying to figure out why. And I think part of it's the breeze. But you know what?
Yeah,
it's that season where they're born.
You
know, some owls kind of think they can fly, but they can't. And so they splat. And then people walk out into their backyard, and they see this owl there. And the question is, what do you do? So we've actually written a story about it.
How do you help it?
Yeah. And the best way you can help it is by leaving it alone. You know, maybe give it some water. We are in a desert. But the parent owls, I'm learning all about owls, by the way, will still take care of a baby that has fallen out of the nest. There's no way it's going to get back up there. But so it's just using your backyard as kind of a practice area for a while, and it'll it'll be gone in 2 or 3 days because it will learn how to fly. But yeah, they're falling out. They could be nudged out by a sibling. They could be, again, the wind. It could be, again, I'm ready to fly. No, you're not. And and so I have received calls. Justice of the Peace, Ray Carroll, is one of them. Sent me some videos, and he has one in his backyard right now. And but then I started hearing from other people. And I was like, wow, must be the, you know, it's the season. And indeed it is. I've talked to the Tucson Wildlife Center and Arizona Raptor organization and learned all sorts of wonderful things about great horned owls.
So try to maybe give it a little water, but basically don't try to handle the animal and put it back in the nest.
Unless it's injured or in danger.
Okay.
Then otherwise stay away.
All right. When's that story going to be running?
Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be online before then.
All right, Dan Scheer, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to you hosting for a couple of weeks when we're over in Hawaii taking a break for our May trip. You're going to be hosting Mondays and Fridays for a couple of weeks. Thank you very much for your service.
Look forward to it.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break right here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is next.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. All righty then, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where this weekend is as close to perfect weather, I think, as you're going to get. Upper 70s, right around 80 degrees, perfect weather to take a three-hour road trip over to Silver City. That's the kind of weather you can get out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Just hang out, really enjoy yourself. Southwest New Mexico. Mexico.org, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out.org, the starting place. Before you take your trip, you'll find some great places to stay and all sorts of wonderful outdoor activities. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
No, I'm doing great. I assure you, I have my full Friday on today. I am ready.
Yeah, does that qualify for a little drink out by the pool?
Yeah, it absolutely does. You know me all too well, sir.
What's this I'm hearing about a popular festival that is returning to the Old Pueblo?
Absolutely. It's the annual celebration of our beloved agave, that plant that brings us all tequila and so much more. It is in full swing this weekend. It's the Agave Heritage Festival, and for 4 full days at the Hotel Congress and neighboring venues, the spirit of the plant will come alive through lectures and demonstrations and tastings, even film screenings, including the star of the show, the Agave Fiesta, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with more than 50 agave spirits for tasting, live music, regional cuisine. All the information and the full calendar of events, Bill, can be found at agaveheritagefestival.com.
Boy, I assume there are going to be a lot of margaritas going on down there at the agave. Why go to the Hawaiian archipelago when you can do a luau? You have a luau right here, huh?
Right here. Well, you know, as you and Ann are planning your upcoming trip to Hawaii, you know, here's a fun way to do a little R&D. It's the Tropical Island Escape Luau tomorrow night from 5 to 9 at St. Francis Cabrini Church near Fort Lowell and Country Club. You'll have an evening in paradise with an authentic Hawaiian dinner, performances by several dance groups. They're going to have a special Hawaiian market, some auctions and door prizes, all to support the programs at the Pan-Asian Community Alliance. So grab that grass skirt and your favorite lei and head over to the Tropical Island Escape Luau. It's tomorrow.
Something tells me Blue Hawaii will be one of the requests for the band.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, what's going on at the Dutch? This is a property I know you like very much and have talked about in the past.
Indeed, Bill. You know, it's one of my favorite brunches in town, too, the Dutch, which for years, you might remember, sat at the corner of Park and University in Main Gate Square. But here's a Weekend Watch news flash. They recently relocated the restaurant to the Williams Center on Broadway and are once again open for business. You'll enjoy some classic and modern breakfast and brunch dishes, from their berries and cream French toast to their lobster omelets. They've got salads and sandwiches and flatbread, some fun brunchy drinks, including their famous bottomless mimosa. Don't tempt me. Brunch up your Saturday at the Dutch in Williams Center this weekend.
Isn't it fun to see how our culinary scene has emerged out of the pandemic, Matt Russell, in such a robust fashion?
You know, I was just talking about that earlier today. The sense of community has really come back, and we have missed it over the last couple of years. And restaurateurs and chefs, everyone from the front of the house to the back of the house, are just giddy over the fact that people are out once again, connecting once again. What better place to connect in community with people that you love over a great meal and a wonderful drink? So you're absolutely right, Bill. We have returned. Our local restaurants are here to serve you.
All right, Matt. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan. Thanks to my assistant, Rose Brandt, and everybody here at KVOI, including my engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks, and, of course, the entire team, giving us such wonderful support at Bustos Media Tucson. Be well, everybody. Stay safe and have a lovely weekend.